Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Excuse me, princess.
Sure. Oh, yes. I'm so glad I recorded all of this.
You did? Yes.
Yes.
This is going to be better than the
really
Wild West.
Happy that I'm feeling queasy right now. totally helped.
Hey, don't watch the toxic scene from RoboCop. Holy
best
crap.
Best scene of the movie. Wait, what did you say? Holy crap. What did you just see it for the first time?
No. I've seen it before. The problem is I've never seen it in HD. And I was eating lunch when that scene showed up. Yeah.
I don't even remember that scene.
I was pretty much done eating lunch.
Oh man, when he shoots the thing and the guy drives into the vat, or like that is like outside driving away in the van, and he drives into
a toxic,
it's like some kind of
barrel.
Storage tank.
Yeah.
And it like
it's
busts been open all over thing.
So long since I've seen RoboCop, like I don't even remember most of it.
I grabbed the Amazon put
the 4K,
the remastered from 4K up for
like $8.99,
$7.99. Yeah, so I grabbed that because I wanted to see it and I don't own it, so I was like, oh, I'll take that. I think Wizard of Oz is also mastered from 4K.
Mm.
So
I already have the big box set Blu-ray of that. I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That one is.
Oh, that one's mastered for 4K.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So yeah, it's weird like when you read that stuff and it's like remastered for like 4K remastered from 4K or four, like it's the movie won't play back in 4K. They have a restored print.
Okay.
Saved in 4K. And they use that print to condense it down to the 1080p. Instead of like instead of scanning the film stock at 1080p, they scanned it at 4K and then compress it.
And I know this is totally not a, you know, M-wire, but I was curious when I read the article about Paramount stopping film prints, what you thought about that, Mike.
I haven't seen a film. An actual film print since fall of 2011 when I left.
Well, I'm just saying,
Rave.
With the studio officially coming out and just, you know, officially saying we won't be distributing any more film prints, it'll all be digital distributed now.
I think that's a bigger issue. What would concern me more is if they said we won't shoot on film anymore.
Okay.
I think that would be a bigger.
But I don't think Paramount could. They can't do that because you can't control the medium that your filmmakers are.
Well, they could.
Well, I guess if they're, I don't know.
As a studio, they could definitely. They could.
As a studio, anything that they physically have their hands on, and so the only thing they wouldn't have it on is stuff that they actually, you know, purchase to distribute.
Right. Exactly. But if it's like the next Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
They could say this needs to be shot, you know, on red 4K cameras.
Yeah.
Instead of film, that to me would surprise me. Although to be fair, the only movie that I've seen digitally that looked like film was the Crystal Skulls. They left, for some reason, they left the film motion in there.
Okay.
And it drove me nuts the entire movie.
That was the only thing that drove you nuts about?
Visually, I mean, yeah, there's tons of other things, but I'm just saying, like, if it's gonna be a digital release, make it look like a digital release. Don't make it look like film on a digital release. And that's the only movie that I've seen that's done that, and it looked.
Now, is that you picking on it because of your projectionist, or was this a thing a lot of people picked up on?
That was me.
I never noticed it.
I noticed it, and Jason noticed it because I forced him to notice it. I was like, I'm going to show you something you won't be able to unsee.
I'm going to point it out. Look, see, there it is. You've ruined this movie.
I do that sometimes. I'm like, I can't tell anybody something because then you won't be able to unsee it.
It's okay. I'm upset about that one Big Bang Theory episode because that completely ruined Raiders for me now.
I don't watch Big Bang and I don't have a thing for Indiana Jones. So.
Oh, Amy... makes a comment about Indiana Jones that if you really think about the plot.
Oh my God, yes. I know what you're talking about.
The Indiana Jones actually has 0 points.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. The entire movie would have happened exactly the same way if Indiana Jones was not in the movie.
Yep.
Oh, because they just would have opened up the Ark.
They would have gone to the island without him stopping them. They just would have died sooner.
Yep. Meh. And it was like crap. Oh,
they're like, wait, no, oh. He's the one who actually found the staff and everything, or the jewel. They would have been, aha, well, actually, the Nazis was just killed that girl and got it from them at the beginning and would have had it from way before, so there. It's like, shit. All he did was prolong the suffering.
Yep.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to use this conversation in the episode or not, but I just want to make it clear, just in case I do, I just want to make it clear, I don't hate Indiana Jones. I just don't have a love for it, because I think we've talked about this before, maybe at some point, where growing up, for me anyways, growing up, there was Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and like, you know, some parents showed their kids Star Wars and some parents showed their kids Indiana Jones. Very few kids got both of them. My parents showed me Star Wars. So that's I have more of a love for Star Wars than I do for Indiana Jones, but it's like, I've seen all the Indiana Jones movies. They just don't have that childhood love in my heart for it.
My parents showed me Star Wars and they showed me Indiana Jones.
You were one of those kids.
I don't have a profound love for either of them. I have a profound love for the other series of movies they showed me, which is James Bond. Love for those movies because I grew up and was more attached to that than I was to Star Wars or to Indiana Jones.
I love me some James Bond. I like Daniel Craig too, so
yeah,
doesn't hurt.
Well, he is pretty dreamy.
He is.
But I was gonna say that I remember liking Star Wars, but I've never been like. I've never been like a huge, like, I'll defend it to, you know, the
death. Like Shepard?
Yeah. I mean, and I will always say that, you know, I had a pretty decent appreciation and love for Star Wars until episode one happened.
I think everyone did.
And then.
Until that happened.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. I'm also one of the few people that the only movie that I actually enjoyed out of the new trilogy was 2.
I like
most people don't seem to like 2.
I like the end of 2 and the first half of 3.
I like 2 because you see the birth of the stormtroopers, and you get to see those at the very end, at least the big kind of them all attacking, and which I thought was really cool.
If I had to pick one, I would say I like 2 because it gave us the Clone Wars series on Cartoon Network. Yeah. And the Clone Wars series is awesome.
I've only really seen the Samurai Jack.
Oh.
Oh, Samurai Jack is good.
Yeah, well, he means the Jenny Tarkovsky one.
Yeah, the Tarkovsky, yes. Yeah,
that one's good. The Clone Wars kind of picks up off of that.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Don't judge it off the movie. Really,
no, I didn't mind the movie.
I'm just saying. The movie's not as good as the series.
I want to go through and just watch them all.
I've seen like bits and pieces, like episodes of the series. And for me, I do want to sit down and watch the series just because I really liked... I liked General Grievous a lot. And I just felt that he was so hyped up for the third movie and then completely just punked.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that's one of the faults I have with the third one, is that Genndy Tartakovsky made him out to be a badass. And then
he gets shot with a fucking pistol.
And then Lucas just shits all over it. So
Jedi Master shoots him with a pistol.
Anyways. Sorry,
laser gun. So
funny story before we actually get started talking about video games, like talking about Star Wars. Growing up, my dad was the one that was like, you gotta watch Star Wars. And so we'd always watch it, and I don't know why, but around Christmas time they would, I'm pretty sure it was because of the Christmas special, but a lot of the stations around us would play like the three movies. And he's like, you gotta watch them. And so, trying to be the good son, I would actually watch them, and I had all the toys and everything. Well, in 97, when they were doing, the remastered theatrical releases, I was like, I'll take my dad to go see these, because, he always told me about what it was like to see them in the movie theater.
Yeah.
So I took him to see the first one.
Ruined it for him?
No. I took him to see the first one, and he really liked it. But then I found out when I took him to see the second one that he had never seen the second or third one.
What?
Yeah, like he'd only ever seen the first one, yet he wanted me to watch like all three of them.
What?
Yeah. It's weird.
So weird.
It is.
Yeah, I got some, like when I was younger, I've never owned one of the original trilogy ever. Right? When I first saw them, we borrowed them from a family friend, and their VHS copy of Empire Strikes Back didn't work at the time. So I saw that one last. I saw them out of order.
That must have been confusing.
Well, no, I was young, so I just kind of took them as these movies are cool, and I didn't really, put them together at all. And it's kind of like the third, like for the third, I'm kind of like, well, this one's okay. And then I saw Empire last. I'm like, this is awesome. Easily. Like it was really weird, because the first time I was like, yeah, these are good movies. And then it was when I finally, like, I think I saw the third one like 3 or 4 years after I saw the first two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long time. Well, I lived in bumfuck New York.
Yeah.
Where I was. I mean, and the car rental place was also the dairy. Like the dairy farm.
I keep forgetting there's other places in New York besides New York City.
Everyone says that, and it's so goddamn irritating. Let me tell you. It's like just to give you, if I had graduated where I grew up, my graduating class, my high school graduating class, no, would have been 33 kids.
Oh my God, you had a That would have potentially been a smaller graduating class than me. I never thought that was possible.
Oh, it was it's tiny little town.
That explains a lot about you.
Fuck off.
All right, but as I think we've said before, this is not M-Wire. This is Off the Cuff, episode 4D3. Got it.
4D3.
4D. 4D3. And that's how I'm going to put it up. Is 4D3.
We're coming at you in four dimensions.
Oh, get out your smell-o-vision.
Get out your smell-o-vision cards.
As you've heard, we've got Art Danner here.
Hi.
We've got Sean Z. Brown.
Woo!
And if we can avoid it, we will not be talking anymore. But what?
Callback.
Oh, wonderful. If we can avoid it, we will not be talking about movies anymore for the rest of the show. We'll be talking about what we're supposed to talk about, which is not movies. Actually, interesting enough, the conversation we were having about the first time we or how old we were, kind of like how we were introduced to certain things and stuff like that. It kind of plays into a conversation that was happening on the forums. I don't know if either of you saw this, but the whole thing kind of started off with King of Kongs. He brought up, he said, this may sound dumb, but when I was a kid, Mario Bros. Turned me off so much I was slow to get on the Super Mario bandwagon. Obviously, that changed, but it took some time. I honestly don't remember why I didn't like Super Mario Bros. Games at this point.
because of the movie. It's fine. I understand. Well,
the question that I asked, because Epicurious followed up with him too, and he said, I never even heard of the original Mario game until the early 2000s. It was never on my radar. And I asked them both, I asked them, you know, if they minded me asking how old they are. And neither one of them answered me.
Then you were automatically
afterward.
I mean, King of Kong's got back, because I said, that's interesting. So if you don't mind, if you didn't play Mario growing up, what did you play? Where does your game language start from? And King of Kong said, I did play it eventually. Just took me a year or two. I think it was Mario 2 that got me first, actually. I played a lot of Contra, Bad Dudes, RBI Baseball, Tecmo Bowl, Metroid, Metal Gear, Jackal, and a lot of war-based action or sports games, which is strange because I don't play those now much.
Well, and I think we've talked about that before, how our gaming habits have kind of evolved, and a lot of the stuff that, like I made the comment before, a lot of the stuff I played when I was younger, like RPGs, just don't have time for those, and those don't fit into the gaming I do today. I game on stuff that I can, you know, consume in small chunks, like action adventure games and FPSs and stuff that's, you know, a little easier to take in bite-sized portions than an RPG is.
Well, right, but it sounds to me like King Kong's actually had an NES, judging by the games he said he grew up playing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Epicurious didn't get back with me about what he played or, you know, how old he is. His first
game was Halo.
That was probably a lot of people's first games, which would explain a lot of the population on Xbox Live.
Got it on his third birthday.
Oh my god, it depresses me to know that came out my first year of college was Halo.
But I just kind of, I don't know why, I just assumed that most of the people that listened to us were around our age. And sometimes I forget that Shaunzi's not our age. What was the first video game you ever actually like played, Shaunzi? Like, it wasn't like Halo, was it?
No, God, no. The first game,
like really remember playing.
Okay, I was going to say, when I was a kid, I had an Atari something or other. I don't know. So I've played Pong before. I don't know if that was my first thing, but the game I can remember playing the most and the most frequently sticks in my mind is the Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt,
or
was,
yeah, it, yep.
Yeah, that double thing, that was the first game.
Okay, so your
that
stuff,
I remember owning.
Okay, so your stuff comes from
Nintendo generation, pretty much.
Yeah, so your language is basically the same as ours.
It's
just interesting because I often think about, I kind of wish Joe was here for this, because I wasn't planning to have this conversation. I just was trying to think of something to talk about, and this is what we're probably going to be talking about. But we've talked before about, you know, giving someone a game now and just letting them go to see if they could actually figure it out. And we talked about like the language of gaming, and I don't think the dialect for gaming gets much simpler than Mario, which is basically, you know, moving left and right across the screen and jumping off of platforms and jumping off of guys with, you know, two buttons. And then every game is kind of a, you know, like language, it's built off of that. So it's interesting to me when there are people that they didn't start there, to actually know where they started from. Because I remember when I was in 2004, when I was babysitting this 8-year-old kid who didn't have video games in the house, I actually brought video games over, and I may have told the story before, but we had rented, I brought my GameCube over one day thinking it's the GameCube, everyone can play this, and I rented Double Dash to play, and that didn't happen. Because one, I didn't have the patience to try and figure out the game mechanics, because it wasn't just Mario Kart anymore. There was all this, you know, switching the driver around, and you had a teammate on the cart with you, and it was just, I didn't really care for it. But I was just, it's interesting because that language has kind of informed stuff, and it came back up when we were playing. I mean, I had the experience, and I'm pretty sure Danner did, when we were playing Dust and Elysian Tale.
Yeah.
And it just, that game relies so heavily on what you know about platforming. Like, yeah, and Metroidvania games.
Danner, I heard that.
to get you through it. So I was just, but it's interesting to know that there are people that they didn't start there. So I was just, if it was ever I mean, I know Nintendo has launched almost every system with a Mario game to kind of teach you the buttons in the systems, like, you know, the Super NES had Super Mario World, and to teach you all, like, the buttons on that controller. And the N64 had Mario 64 to actually teach you how to navigate in 3D space, which I don't really think there's a game that has quite done the 3D space navigation quite as well as Mario. I think everything is just kind of spun off of that.
Yeah.
But that one, to me, in my opinion, that one was just right. Whether you like the game or not, I feel like they got the navigation of the environment down and they made it intuitive. Could I play it now? I don't know. Probably because I couldn't stand to look at it on my TV.
Could you play it on an old TV though?
Probably. I could. I've often toyed with.
That's the my idea problem with older games. Like if I ever got a hold of them, and I know I could get stuff to plug it into my TV, but I would have to get an old TV, which nowadays is getting harder and harder to do. Find a functional tube TV.
I have one in my basement. Just
I
for
don't,
that
I reason. Don't know. As soon as I got a flat LCD TV, I tossed the one that I had that was like held together with duct tape. Got tossed.
I got the Sony Trinitron sitting in the basement.
Just me for that too. Reason. I have the first TV I ever bought for myself was a 32-inch Trinitron, and that's at my parents' house.
I think it's a 27-inch Trinitron.
I just can't. Those games need those scan lines.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they just look like garbage, which really bums me out because you'd think that they could add those, like I've heard people often criticize the Wii Virtual Console for not having some kind of mode where the scan lines can actually be put back into the game as the signal gets passed to the TV, which I think would be interesting. Or if TV manufacturers actually put like a standard definition mode in the TV.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like if you car companies should put the ability to have a hand crank on the front, you know, just for old time's sake.
I think
at some point they have
to. No, I think. I don't think
at some point they have to stop thinking about those games were great and stuff. But if I went back and played all the games that I played as a children, even if I played them old TVs, you'd be like, what a pile of shit this is. It would tarnish my view of them.
I think that happens with TVs as they are right now because they don't have those. They don't have those games were designed with scan lines in place. Like the art forum was designed when they could hide stuff in the scan lines. And these new TVs, they show you everything. And I remember, because Super Mario RPG looks amazing on a tube TV. And it looks like ass on a high-definition television. Because it has those, what is that, pre-rendered graphics?
Yeah.
That just, they do not scale at all. They need the scan lines. So,
what was the first game you ever remember owning, Danner?
Mario.
Nope. Centipede and Qbert, I want to say, were the ones that I remember.
Nice. I never owned Qbert. I only played those in like arcade cabinets.
Pitfall and Missile Command.
Yeah. No, we had my dad brought home an Atari. And we played I played a lot of Centipede, but I remember I have a lot of fond memories of Qbert.
I remember owning an Atari, and I remember it was one where it was dual cartridge, and there was like a slider. You could switch between one game and the other. I cannot remember which one it was, and I cannot remember the games I played on it. Okay. I remember playing with
Joe
that slider.
You would know.
Joe has one that works, and he plugs in and plays every night.
Yeah.
And he fondles himself and goes to sleep.
I'm a little disappointed that Danner isn't live tweeting the episode.
I know. Hey, it's because I haven't said anything stupid yet. Give it time.
Oh man, I would love to try this. I'm sorry, this just showed up in my Twitter feed while I was looking to see if Danner was live tweeting the entire thing. They are working on the Fulbright company is working on putting Gone Home into the Oculus Rift.
Ooh.
I don't know if I could actually play that.
Ooh.
I mean, I probably could now, knowing what I know. Oh man, that would be creepy. Anyways, so if you guys, I probably people saw this on Twitter if they follow me at all. I haven't actually played a game in over 2 weeks.
Really? Like anything?
I played a little bit of when I say played a game, I usually think of like, you know, 2-3-4 hour spurts of like marathon gaming. I played about an hour of Don't Starve on the PS4. It's interesting looking. It's kind of like everything kind of looks like a shadow box. Like it's 2D art in a 3D plane, kind of. Your guy looks like a paper cutout, sort of. The best way that I can describe the game is it's Harvest Moon as a roguelike. And they drop you into a randomly generated level, and you have to forage for food and shelter and safety and
good job, Danner.
Nice. But yeah, so basically, and you have one life. As soon as you die, you lose all your stuff, but you can like, you loot, you go around like chopping down trees and breaking up boulders, and those allow you to craft like tools, and so you can make like torches for walking around at night or to build campfires, and you have to like keep your health up, or you have to keep yourself, it's weird. You have three gauges. You have your health gauge, and then you have your hunger gauge, and then you have your psychological gauge that tells you like how, like before, I just die. I've never starved, so I'm imagining that once your entire your hunger gauge runs out, then maybe your health starts depleting faster. Or you might go insane faster, which then causes your health to deplete faster. But basically, you spend your entire time trying to keep yourself alive, and you're supposed to, it's supposed to be like consecutive days. It's about how many days can you keep your guy alive? And there are enemies in the world that try to kill you, and you just, it's weird, but it just reminds me a lot of like Harvest Moon, because you're running around chopping down trees and rocks and trying to, make all this new stuff. You gather grass together, and then eventually you can make some rope, and then you can make traps, trap animals in, and then you can like cook them and eat them or turn them into something else. It's pretty bizarre, but I only played that for about an hour. So I don't really count that as actually playing anything.
I was going to say, I think I only played it for 20 minutes before I died, and I was like, there's other stuff.
It takes it. I died once in like 20 minutes. And I was like, I don't really understand what's going on, because there's no tutorial.
Yeah, I think it's a game that'll be really fun if you stick with it and like play it for like 2 or 3 hours and get the gist of what's going on together.
I've seen Twitch streams where the guys have been alive for like 150 days.
Wow.
Like that's, but you can save the game and leave. It's not,
yeah.
It's not, like even if you leave, it doesn't just start.
The moment the lights went out, I died because I ran out of stuff to make fires with.
Oh, were you attacked by something?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know.
What is it like if you don't have fire and it goes out, you're attacked instantly?
Yeah, because eventually the screen will go entirely dark, like black. Like you won't be able to see anything unless you've started a campfire. And then you have to keep that fire fed throughout the night it's not like it's a real time or anything like that. It's like I don't know how the night cycle works, but there's like day, and then there's dusk, and then there's like night. And if you don't have a fire going, then you can't see anything. And obviously the light only shines like in a circle around the campfire. And it will slowly like dwindle down, and things, you can see things like their eyes, like lurking outside in the shadows. But as soon as you like throw like more wood on the fire and the circle like expands and it gets brighter, then they go away. But yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I haven't even played that in over a week. I just can't really, and this happened, sitting down to like do this episode was like really hard. It's like, what are we going to talk about? Is it just me, or is like this like the worst like December/January and
well,
a few years? I know the new systems just came out, so there's not a whole lot out there.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, actually. All the games that could have came out now, they're either being pushed back to give them a little more polish, give the install base for the new consoles time to gestate, you know?
I almost wish we would have...
I have a feeling that Thief is going to sell really fucking well because of the fact that there is nothing out.
So do I.
Nothing.
I wish that... I mean, and that, on that note, I mean, I am really excited...
Because of the, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
You're fine.
Steamrolling in here. I'm excited just in the fact that the pre-order came up for Second Son, which I'm considering just buying it through PSN just so I know that I have a game that's coming. I'm like, I have it pre-ordered on Amazon, but I'm tempted just to take the money and spend it right now. Just
you too.
Well, yeah, because having all these physical copies of games right now is kind of bullshit, and I just want a digitally downloaded full game.
Well, see, I'm torn because I agree with you. I looked at the Infamous pre-order, and it's the same as the Amazon pre-order, which is fine.
Yeah,
I'm kind of on the fence about it though, because I can't share it with Allie if she wants to play it.
Yeah.
I think my digital games are going to be the multiplayer games, where that way if I'm playing a single player game and you jump on and want to do something, I don't have to get up and swap discs.
Yeah.
I can just leave and like load up the Division or something like that, and we can go shoot stuff together. But I really want to do Infamous Second Son because I just want to see what the experience is like, you know, like being able to play it before it's done downloading. And yeah. But I don't know if I really want to do that with Second Son because there's no, at least as far as I know, there's no compelling online component to it. But going back to being early this year, I was kind of hoping we might get some more, there would have been some more port announcements like Tomb Raider.
I got really nervous about the port announcement I saw yesterday, though.
What's that?
It sounds like Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming to PC.
Oh, yeah.
Which means it's closer to it possibly getting released on the PS4.
I'm going to have to go look. I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was an article that came out. Maybe it was today. I don't know. All the days run together. But I saw an article about that it's getting close.
I don't know.
By the end of 2014, we could possibly see a PC release.
I would like to see what that game looks like on PC / next gen console, but I don't know if I'm willing to like buy it again.
I'd buy it.
Are you yawning, old man?
He's yawning. He's old.
Oh, now I'm gonna yawn you, Ma.
Guys, come on. Really?
I only yawn because that old asshole yawned.
I didn't even do anything. I didn't even respond. I just let it go. So,
speaking of games to play, are you gonna play Two Brothers before we do our game of the year?
If I'm gonna play it, I gotta play it before Monday.
It's free on PlayStation Plus and only takes 3 hours.
I know. My time is limited because if I don't do it before Monday, it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before I can play a game again.
Sure, and especially that game. That game will mess up your hands.
Yes.
Earth Defense Force 2025. Yes, please.
So, just so everybody kind of knows what we're talking about, I'll pop the disclosure.
I didn't know if we should share your...
I don't care. I'm having carpal tunnel surgery on Monday. Because
he touches himself too much.
Yeah. Actually, they asked me like 12 times. So you type a lot. It's like, no. I didn't want to go. I play a shitload of video games, so I probably have carpal tunnel because of all the video game playing I do, which isn't something I really wanted to tell my doctor. So, yeah, on Monday, they're slicing open, you know, my wrist on my left hand and then opening up my carpal tunnel bones and serrating the tendon, whatever. But it's going to be 8 weeks.
What's later. The we've recovered 8 weeks?
It's well, and they want to do my right hand 2 weeks later.
Danner's love life is about to take a huge hit.
No kidding. So then probably 2 weeks before I get the stitches and the wrist splints off. Well, I don't know about the wrist splint. 2 weeks before I get the stitches, the wrap, and the splint off, and I think they put a protective splint back on for like another 2 to 4 weeks. But supposedly I won't have full use of my hands for 8 weeks. But they should be decent after 4. So I should probably be able to start playing again after 4 to 6 weeks. But God knows I'll probably push it and try to. The moment I'm feeling slightly comfortable, I'll probably try to push it. But
undo all the hard work the surgeons did.
I'll just do what other people did and just, you know, I'll just jump on YouTube and watch people play video games.
See, carpal tunnel's a weird thing. I don't understand what it is.
You understand what carpal tunnel? Repetitive stress injury.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay, I guess, have you ever
heard of tennis elbow?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of all this.
Elbow is, you know, is almost like carpal tunnel, but in your elbows.
I guess I'm just wondering because I don't know that. I mean, I spend a lot of time on a computer, and Danner, I think we play the same. I know Danner's been playing way more games than I have lately, but
yeah,
I feel like
some people are more susceptible.
That's why I'm just wondering. I just don't know
what it is. The carpal tunnel literally refers to your wrist, essentially.
Yeah.
That bone is legitimately a giant tunnel. And that tunnel is all of your tendons for your fingers, and your nerve clusters and everything run through that tunnel. Well, what's happening is everything's getting strained and swelling, and there's a lot of pressure in there, which is essentially straining all of my tendons and straining my nervous system, which as of 3 weeks ago, I, you know, woke up. I couldn't feel my arms.
Until 3 weeks ago, Danner didn't know he had a nervous system.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know I had the ability to feel like a real boy.
You still don't have a heart. Your nervous system is separate. That's connected to your brain, not your cardiovascular.
No circulatory system. A nervous system.
Just a nervous system. Skin job.
They left out all the parts that, you know, would make me an actual human being. So essentially what's happening is my wrist, the carpal tunnel, if you will, the tendons and everything in there are swelling up, which is causing stress on everything, nervous system and everything else, and is basically causing my arms, shoulders, neck, everything to be strained and cause pain, and my hands are swelling, my elbows are swelling.
I'm sure everyone really wants to hear about your old man problems.
Super uncomfortable.
So
super uncomfortable.
Basically, what it comes down to, what it probably is how you may type or hold a controller versus the way that I type or hold a controller.
Correct.
Okay.
And genetics.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Because I mean, I've heard like a lot, you know, there are a lot of my friends. I mean, I've got friends that have had carpal tunnel and stuff like that. And obviously, on Geekcast Radio, we've had Movie Revolt and Steve recently went down with it as well. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not trying to like play down the.
No, it's fine.
Play down. I'm just interested because I feel like we're in the same boat, and is this gonna happen to me? I'm just kind of, you know, I don't know. So I've just been kind of curious about the whole thing, and since I actually, you know, we're really good friends, I thought I would ask you, and you like the fact that we should be able to start talking about more important things.
Yeah. So I just, you know, want people to know why over the next, you know, like 6 to 8 weeks, why I'm only going to be making fun of Sean all the time. Because I don't have anything to contribute.
You can come on and talk about Justified.
Yep.
Yes, for the next few weeks, this is going to be a gaming / general entertainment show.
There you go. It's going to be like Alter Geek and Talking in Circles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll have another variety show. All right. Let's see. The question. Okay, have you guys been playing anything besides Assassin's Creed?
No, I've been playing a little Assassin's. I've been playing a lot of the new user generated stuff on GTA Online, which is.
Oh yeah, that game exists.
Which is, I mean, because anyone who just pay attention to it, they released a creator tool for people, so you could make your own like death matches and races and stuff like that, and then Rockstar went in and picked a bunch of them that they thought that were best, And when you're searching through stuff, they come up as, you know, instead of Rockstar, it says Rockstar Verified, which means it was made by someone else. And Rockstar said it was good enough and put it into the general, you know, rotations. And the coolest one so far that I've found, it's called Prison Riot. It's a death match. It can be either team death match or regular death match in the prison yard. And there's no guns. It's only melee weapons. And it can be, and it holds up to 16 players.
Okay.
So if it's, if everyone's one-on-one, it's 16 players all trying to beat each other up with baseball bats and knives and nightsticks. So it's like the
Hunger Games.
Kinda. But the problem is, like, say you see a guy, you run at him. The problem is if you and him get in a fight, you may hit him once, him hit you once, another guy come over, dome both of you, he gets a double kill. It's like this constant, do I run in now? When do I run in? Or you have two teams of eight and it's just a melee. But whoever designed it was nice enough to leave a prison bus inside that you can get in and drive around, try to run people over with. You're slow. You can't really turn too fast or anything, but you're pretty much immune to getting hit. But it's hard for you to get kills. It's crazy.
I really wanted to like GTA 5. Like, and I started getting a little bit into the story when I was like live streaming it, although I haven't gone back to doing that. For probably because I really wasn't as into it as I thought I was. I'd be intrigued to pick it up again on the next gen stuff for the multiplayer, like to be able to play with Danner, but I can't imagine it being much more fun.
The more friends you have on it, you quickly learn that doing the missions is fun and it's good to level up and stuff. Like I just got to level 60, which means I have a grenade launcher now. I've had way more fun finding random stuff to do in the environment. Has no benefit really of doing it. It just turns out to be great fun.
Well, and Joe and I have fun like that all the time. The problem is I don't know, like roaming around with just two people is
yeah. The more people boring. Is better.
Now you know if you had a PS4 and GTA and
you got an extra $500 on you.
If I did, I wouldn't give it to you.
Well, then quit your bitching, okay.
Or, you know, Joe, you know, same thing there. Like, first, we could actually get, no, my TV comes first. That's what's coming first.
Your TV that you're going to have no media to stream, no applicable media to put on it.
Netflix. Anyways.
How many 4K Netflix shows are there?
House of Cards, and that's really all that matters. Actually, all of Netflix's original content will be available in 4K, and they're getting, Breaking Bad from Sony in 4K as well.
Oh no, so you get to rewatch. Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
I have.
Okay, so you're rewatching something you've already seen. Wow, that's
I'm rewatching Justified for like the fourth time.
I'm so far behind in that it's upsetting.
But I'm excited for the TV for other reasons than just that, so.
Did you see that the who were they? Naughty America. They're like a porn place. Apparently,
yeah.
They're gonna start shooting in 4K.
Oh, well, that's porn for you. They're gonna be first to anything.
They're on the cusp.
They're using there are porn studios that are using Google glasses.
I'm sure they are.
They should.
They should put some kind of protective eyewear. Shit.
Zing.
But.
Although I will say this, one of the things in doing my research for the new TV and trying to understand some of the new standards, I learned more about H.265, which is the successor to the compression codec H.264.
Shockingly, H.265 comes up for H.264.
Or it's called the HEVC codec. I think H.265 sounds cooler. Anyways, what it essentially is, and the reason it's supposed to be like a godsend, is it can do four 1080p streams in the same compression as H.264 can do one 1080p stream. That is why it can deliver 4K really well, and that is also why they're going to start using, like, once that codec becomes more widely used, you'll actually be able to see game video in the way that it's actually, like, you know, uncompressed, quote unquote uncompressed game video, once they can use that H.265, because it can do a 1080p stream, which actually I'm more interested in it because I think that will have ramifications for broadcast television. They use the H.264 codec right now for TV for some stuff. The problem is TV can't even do 1080p. I think the highest resolution broadcast you can get is 1080i, and only some channels use that. I know like sports channels like ABC, Fox, and ESPN, they do 720. So I'm wondering if, you know, broadcast television will finally catch up to, you know, where streaming media was like 5 years ago, and actually start producing 1080p content, which will make a lot of people happy. Anyways, sorry. I've been reading about this stuff for like, that's probably what I've been doing the last 2 weeks instead of playing games. It's just crawling forums, reading about all this new stuff that's coming. So it's just,
that's really exciting.
I know you don't care, but that's because you have kids.
I do care. I just don't care for technical jargon. I just care about, hey, look what it does. Big shiny.
Anyways, the content will be there. Plus the, it's kind of like, as far as like watching 1080p content on there, it's supposed to make it look a little bit sharper because it does what the Retina display does on the iPhones. Cause it's essentially the same idea. They just quadrupled the pixel count, but they kept everything the same size. So that should help out with some things. Anyways, on the last, we can do the last bit of feedback we have here, and then maybe we can wrap this up. On the last episode, we had the question, which was provided by Danner. Is there a game franchise that has completely turned you off to said franchise? Or like a game in a franchise that has turned you off?
Yeah, for Mike, Halo.
Yeah, it was Halo. Epicurious responded with, this isn't a franchise, but World of Warcraft turned me off to all MMOs. I felt like I was joining a cult trying to play that game. Unless I sank endless hours into it, there was no point of playing. I get that's kind of the point, but I wish they had MMOs for people who have lives. To that point, I actually suggested Borderlands, because that's about as close as you can get to MMO, but you don't have to sink a lot of your time into it or your money. Let's see. Freddie Savage, actually this kind of had wider ramifications, I guess, for him. He said, Superman 64 was so bad, I swore off most superhero games for quite a while. Not until X-Men Legends did I trust them again.
Oh, I was going to say a lot of
Superman 64. So. If you like the X-Men Legend games, you should try all the games in that series.
Legends is great. Altered Alliance is great.
There was another one, wasn't there? Like on the PS2 that wasn't... or was it just Legends and Legends 2?
It was Legends 2, okay. Rise of Apocalypse.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And then Ultimate Alliance, and then Ultimate Alliance 2, which is a bitch to even find copies of. And if you do find them, they're expensive.
We need to find... they need to make those games again.
Well, I was going to say, if you like those games... also, another game series on PS2 and Xbox was Hunter: The Reckoning.
I've heard this. I have a friend that keeps trying me to pick up a copy just to play.
Oh God, those games were so good, and they're much like X-Men Legends, except it's you're playing, you know, hunters against vampires and zombies, and it's more of a horror genre of it. But God, those games are so much fun. Ridiculous guns and swords and good times. I really like that.
Good times. I will say, I don't know.
It was one of those. It's a good series that I would definitely like to see, you know, resurrected, much like the Ultimate Alliance series.
I'd even go for another Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
I want that water, man. That water. I should finally copy of that game, and then I'll come over and we can just drink and play that all night long.
I'm fine with that.
I was going to say, probably the game that turned me off to this the series is whatever the second Pokemon game I ever played was. Sure. I played the first one, loved it, and then I played the second one, like, it's the same game, only slightly different. Like, it's not changed enough. And I was kind of like, I was like, what's the point of me ever playing another one?
Wow, I know exactly how, on this podcast.
No, I love, you know, I the first time I ever played Pokemon, I found it crazily addictive. I'm almost tempted to find a way to play X or Y.
Allie actually just, she has X, and she's played it, and she's beat it, and she's got her little Pokemon checklist. And I bought her, she was talking about starting it over again, from the beginning and playing it again. I said, why don't I just go buy you Y? Because obviously both games have slightly different Pokemon in them, and she wants to be able to get them all.
That's the only difference between when they come out with multiple versions, right?
Yes, they.
That always seems like a big. That just seems like a kick in the nuts to me.
Well, what it is, I guess, yes, if you're playing by yourself. But the idea behind it is that you get one copy, and your friend gets the other, and then you trade Pokemon.
Yeah,
It's the digital. It's basically just digital baseball cards, and that's fine. But when you are playing by yourself and you're antisocial, like that, you can't do that. So yeah, look, it defeats the purpose. However, I just bought her Y so she can start that over again, and she's actually, this is kind of sad. I told her, I said just wait until like we go out to Grand Rapids for something, and then you can borrow Joe's 3DS and you can swap Pokemon between your games. Today she was actually thinking about buying a 3DS just so she could do that, like swap them herself. I've morphed her. I've broken her. However, I told her to wait because it looks like Nintendo announced something that a service that will allow you to like store your Pokemon and pull them out of the cloud. So I'm going to look into that for her before I let her buy a 3DS. Because I don't even play mine, really. I just buy games. It's like the Vita. I just buy games for it and leave them sitting on it.
Again, this is his way to get around.
Yeah, that's what it is.
To get around not opening packages. Oh, see, it's digital. It's already opened.
The last comment we have regarding the franchises before we dive into them ourselves is from Brian Jackson. He says, I honestly forget which Call of Duty it was, one of the Modern Warfares, but it just got to so batshit crazy, I lost interest. Once Washington, D.C. was destroyed with little to no repercussions, I realized I was just playing a Michael Bay movie. I thought that's what all of the Call of Duties were.
Is that Modern Warfare 2 or 3?
I have no idea. That's
where D.C. gets destroyed?
2. Yeah.
All you guys.
I'm pretty sure it's 2. I don't know. I enjoyed this. I don't know.
But aren't they all
Michael Bay? I don't try to take any of the Call of Duty games too seriously because they're all Michael Bay-ish type action games. So
let's go around here. Shanzi, I know you said Pokemon, so should we just ignore you?
Yes. Okay. No, I mean, there's definitely others, but
is there another legitimate game?
Besides Pokemon?
Yes.
Yeah, real game.
To be honest, I mean, I tried maybe playing this out of order is what screwed it for me. I tried playing Uncharted 2 with you guys. And I don't know if it was just because jumping in the middle of that series or whatever it was, but I know they're great games. I've just never had the urge, even when I had my PS3, to ever play any of the others.
That makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yep, I agree.
So wait, okay, you're saying Uncharted 2, which is arguably one of the best games on the PS3,
yeah,
ruined that entire franchise for you.
I don't know why, but I've ever since playing, I played a little bit of online with you, and I played a little bit of the story. Couldn't get into it. And I was like, it didn't ruin anything for me. I lost interest in ever trying to play it.
I think you're just an Xbox whore.
I'm not an Xbox whore. Yes. I was super crazy into DC Universe Online. That was a PlayStation only. Well. On consoles, anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Blow both of you simultaneously. That's unfortunate
because Uncharted 2 is excellent, and maybe I don't know. I wouldn't have recommended playing that without playing the first one because then you can actually see how much work was actually done to the game. Maybe that's one of the things that makes it so great is that you're like, whoa, this has improved so much. Off of the game that came before it, that was kind of like, I don't know how it can get better than this, and then it does. Danner, what's one of yours? You know, a real one.
Final Fantasy X.
Ten.
Yeah. Stupid Blitzball. I don't. God. It's the one of the few Final Fantasies where I've literally gotten to the final boss fight opened up versus Sin, and I just go, oh my god, what's the point? And I just started grinding to get my guys up so I could go do the final boss fight, and I just stopped.
You lost, said grinding to get this. Your guy up.
You're a piece of shit. So it's, I don't know, for some reason that game just completely killed the Final Fantasy series for me. Just every Final Fantasy release on the PS2 just completely killed it for me. Final Fantasy Barbie dress up, I mean X2, and I know this is probably going to chap the ass of a lot of people because of the fact that, you know, somehow Final Fantasy X and X2 are popular enough to get an HD upgrade and re-release, which I believe it released, like, what, within the past couple weeks? Or is about to release? I don't
know. Yeah, I think it's coming soon.
The moment I heard, like, oh, they're doing an HD upgrade and it'll be available on the PS3 and the Vita, and I was like, out of all the Final Fantasy games, are you serious?
Why not Final Fantasy 9?
Why not 7, which people have been clamoring for how long? And they're not going to do it, which is fine. It's fine. Because God knows I'd much rather have an HD upgrade of Final Fantasy 6. But whatever.
We've already seen how that's going to look.
Instead, we've seen Final Fantasy 6 get released on the iOS, and it has a game-breaking glitch in it, which makes it unbeatable, which is awesome. So go Square.
It's a mark of a great game right there. Yeah. Making a game completely unbeatable if you miss one tiny little part or one little glitch goes wrong.
I want to say that Assassin's 3 was close, very, very close to getting me out of Assassin's. And I'm glad I went against my base instincts because I was totally going to not get Assassin's 4.
How much of that was I need something to play on the PS4?
I think a lot of it was I need something to play on the PS4, and I was like, it looks interesting enough for me to play, but I still don't know about it because Assassin's 3 was such a cluster of a game, which the article that came out on Reddit about Assassin's 3 and why it was a cluster made a lot of sense, so I'm glad I got some info on that.
Which was, streamline it.
Streamlined, it turned out that Assassins was one of the few games that was a...
It was supposed to be a next-gen title?
It was built on a brand-new engine, which was a next-gen engine.
Yeah, I heard this,
but the issue was they had every single team that wasn't working on a game was working on Assassins 3 across the globe. So they had their main team that was working on the main storyline, but then they farmed out different pieces of the game to different people and different teams around the world. And the only way they communicated was through emails. So much was lost in that. And then there was entire portions of the game that just got cut because of the length. And that's why you get a lot of scenes where Connor's explaining things of what's happening when you were supposed to play all that stuff, but they cut it out because they put so much crap into the game. And I guess all the homestead stuff was literally stuff that was actually ideas that were come up with and actually implemented in the last 2 months of development. So they weren't even fully fleshed out. And that's why it just seems so clunky. And it's why the game doesn't flow very well, is because it was made by like 14 different teams.
Well, that's the way Ubisoft does a lot of stuff.
But Assassin's 4 was being built by one team. Far Cry 3 was being built by one team. And there was another game also in there that there was three separate teams working on three separate games for Ubisoft, and everybody else was working on Assassin's 3 at the time. And it just blows my mind that the guy wouldn't admit who he was, but he was a guy who worked on the game. And the moment he even mentioned the fact that, you know, they at this point in time, they decided to make Assassins a yearly release, he just groaned after that because I think developers dread the yearly release of a game, of franchising a game out.
I'm wondering because I heard most of what you've said before. I've heard it before. I brought up in defense of AC3 because it was supposed to be. The article that I had read was that it was supposed to be a next gen title, and there wasn't a next gen console that year.
Because everything was, the engine that they built was specifically for next gen, and it just.
Right. So I'm wondering if it ended up being kind of, we talked about this too in the past, which was Secret of Mana. Originally it was supposed to be on the disk drive add-on for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So it had all this lavish stuff in it, and when the disk drive stuff never came about, to get it to fit on a cartridge at a reasonable price, they had to cut half the game out.
Well, I'm almost interested now. I'd be really intrigued to see a director's cut of AC3, a fully flush, because I think that's, to me, is it felt very clunky. It didn't flow well, and I would. A lot of the stuff that they talked about, but you didn't actually play, it was like, man, it would have been kind of cool to see that.
I think my hat's off to the guy that came up with the hunting stuff.
Yeah, the hunting stuff was cool because they kind of neutered that in four. The hunting stuff wasn't really as, it was there, but there wasn't as big of an emphasis on it as there was.
It seems like it might be. I know this is probably, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's kind of like where the hunting was like the big thing for Assassin's Creed 3 and the sailing was not a thing. They kind of flip. Obviously, they're two totally different mechanics, but they kind of flip-flop them.
They did. And
I can't chase bunnies around.
The one thing that I noticed right away was the fact that I can go around shooting animals with guns in 4 and it doesn't ding me on the quality of the skinning, which was something three.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Three. You had to shoot things?
Well, no, you could.
I know
you
could.
Say there was a rare animal and you could shoot it.
3, but if you shot it, you would get a diminished quality of
it. Would give you a ruined pellet.
I knew that. I just never did that.
You can shoot them, you can blow them up, you can hit them with darts, you can
whatever you want,
whatever the hell, you're still gonna get the same quality pelt.
I would like to see, and it'll never happen, I mean it actually, because it was so ill received, it would probably never happen. I would like to see a next gen, you know, an AC3 director's cut on like the PS4. Just to see what it could do.
Definitely be intrigued by that. Just because
I had fun with it. I like
the base concept was there. It just, the substance wasn't right.
I liked the one thing that I really liked about the game, and it kind of came out when I, you know, just kind of started making the game my own, was I just liked the brutality behind Connor. He wasn't as finesse as like Ezio. He was more like, he was just more blunt. He was more like a hammer than a scalpel.
And he was, I don't know, I laughed my ass off in Assassin's Creed 4 when you're in the real world and you're hacking computers. There's a file you get, and I got a file that is a study of Connor as a character for a game and how he is an unlikable protagonist, so we've decided to pass on this project, which made me laugh my ass off. When I was watching that video, and then later you also find an Ezio video, and why they've, because you know, in 4 you're working for a game company and they're going through all the previous assassins that you've already played as in the other games and talking about why they haven't gone with them for the main protagonists in the games, and they're talking about how Ezio doesn't he is too emotional, and he has an inability to stick to the code that he set out to live in life. And they even mentioned, because they even end up talking about mentioning him in the old man in the movie version of him. They show scenes of that when they're talking about him, The fact that he even, you know, even as an old man, he's still trying to get in women's pants. And it's just, I don't know. The whole thing made me just giggle about why they wouldn't be good protagonists for their next game that they were producing.
Plus, you know, pirates. Everyone, they even say at the beginning that everyone were pirates, don't they?
Yeah.
Something like that.
There are a couple of game franchises where there were like game ending, like sequels or whatever. I think the hot button one is the Borderlands 2 DLC. I honestly don't know if I'll be picking up Borderlands 3. Like, I'm sure I'll be like talked into it, or I'll break down and end up buying it anyways. But like at this time,
that depends more on Destiny than anything.
Yeah,
we're still playing Destiny at that point.
But like we said, I mean, I don't think Destiny's gonna be anything like Borderlands. Obviously, I expect Destiny to be curated the way Borderlands 2 was. So I don't think it will annoy me as much when it is. But man,
no, but I mean that'll still our co-op shooter.
Yeah, and then
there's gonna be Evolve and all those other games
and Division and stuff like that. Yeah, the Borderlands 2 DLC has soured that franchise. And going back to what we talked about before we started recording, or before we said that we were actually a gaming podcast and not a movie podcast, when I was watching RoboCop, they have the Cobra explosive sniper rifle in that movie, and of course that is a gun in the first Borderlands, and I just realized how much I actually miss Borderlands, and how fun that game actually was. Another one is Xenosaga. I had a bad feeling going into that game anyways, because it's the pseudo sequel to Xenogears, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And I knew it wasn't going to be the same game, but it was not what I wanted at all. So I never played episode 2 or 3 of Xenosaga, because I was just, not happening. You had something good and you weren't able to take it because
spoiled it.
Well, what happened was, it wasn't really the studio's fault. What happened was is that there was a dream team, kind of like the guys that made Chrono Trigger. Another dream team got together and they made Xenogears for Squaresoft. And when you beat the game, it says the end, episode 5. And you're like, what? What is going on? And because nowhere else in the game do they ever say anything about episodes, like, at all. It's just called Xenogears, and you start and you go. And so, you know, you read about, I read in, you know, magazines and stuff like that, because the internet wasn't really that big of a thing back then. And they were talking about how the developer had all these plans to tell this grand story, and they were going to do like episode 1 and all this stuff. And Xenogears came out about that time when Squaresoft finally said, we're not going to do any more games unless they say Final Fantasy in the title. So they weren't able to make a follow-up to Xenogears. So those guys actually left Square. They left Squaresoft and formed a company called Monolith Software. And although Square owned the rights to Xenosaga, which means I think they owned the combat engine and the characters and all that other stuff that goes along with the game, they were still going to try and follow through with their original plan, but not use the same characters or the same combat engine or anything like that. Unfortunately, that's the stuff that I liked about their previous game. So on one hand, I'm kind of like, if you couldn't do it right, why even try at all? And on the other hand, that's also when I started hating Squaresoft again. Because that's when they, you know, threw in the towel and they weren't going to make any more Vagrant Stories or try to make a sequel to Chrono Trigger that wasn't Chrono Cross. They started slapping Final Fantasy on the front of everything. Like, for example, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Have you ever played that, Danner?
No.
It was a GameCube Final Fantasy.
I know of it, but
it should have been Secret of Mana. It should have been a Mana game. And that was the most disappointing thing about playing that. Because I actually the only way I played that game is I actually got the 4 Game Boy Advances and played it that way. And it was a lot of fun. But I was just like, it should have been a Mana game, but it wasn't. So after that, I honestly have to say, I think Mario Sunshine killed Mario for me.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I like that game.
I didn't care for it because it got, for me, the whole water jetpack thing, that just, to me, that wasn't Mario. And I haven't gone back to a Mario game since that. Like, I've played a little bit of Galaxy, didn't really care for it. I played, what is it, the new Super Mario Bros. U. I played that. Actually, I had some fun with that, but it wasn't as charming as I was hoping it would be. But yeah, I like Mario Sunshine kind of threw me out of the Mario games, especially as a follow-up to Mario 64.
Yeah.
I just didn't, I don't know.
I really liked it, but I also never owned an N64 at that point.
I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it wasn't the Mario that I knew, because like the Mario I knew never had a, you know, a jetpack squirting whatever water. So. Okay, Shaunzy, do you want to try for another game?
I don't know. You probably just yell at me.
You probably will, but I was just wondering if you want to try and redeem yourself.
Screw you.
Say Halo.
Say what, Halo? No, I'm not going to say Halo. I'm trying to think which Spider-Man game it was. 3, maybe?
Oh, that's the
I
movie.
Actually like. No, I liked. No, no, I'm talking about the games. I liked the swing mechanics and stuff the first and second one, but the third one,
Third one, it seems super glitchy.
It did. It was like they tried to put too much. Like they tried to have it too many mechanics.
It seemed as rushed and as terrible as the movie was.
Now, okay,
minus the jazz scene.
That's the last game in that series. So that couldn't really have turned you. That turned you off to all Spider-Man games since then.
Yeah, I have not played a Spider-Man game since then, with the exception of like going back and playing Ultimate Alliance that has Spider-Man in it.
Yeah,
but I haven't played Shattered Dimensions. I haven't played Web of Shadows. I haven't played any of them. I loved the first one and the second one. I thought the old ones.
I still like the ones on PlayStation were my favorites.
Oh yeah,
those ones. Oh my god, the one where Stan Lee narrates.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best one. That one's so good.
Good stuff.
Those games used to be really good. Yeah, I haven't even touched. Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man. I have no desire to play Amazing Spider-Man 2 either.
Oh, real quick. I know we didn't talk about it on the last episode because I completely forgot to talk about it, but I thought we could throw this on the end to go out on. Any thoughts on PlayStation Now? Which, for anyone that doesn't know, is the streaming PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PS3, and eventually PS4 titles to your tablet, smartphone, Vita, PlayStation 3, PS4, and Sony Bravia television. So eventually you'll be able to buy a television and you won't have to buy a game console to play the games.
I'm hesitant about it, mostly because I'm waiting to hear the words, you've already bought it digitally on the PS3, so you automatically get access to it, is what I'm waiting to hear, instead of having to do the subscription service or buy the games.
I wish there was some kind of, I mean, obviously everyone's waiting for a price announcement, because there's going to be a la carte, which means you can rent the games for an undisclosed amount of time, and then there is a subscription service, which is basically the Netflix model for video games. I'm wondering what I really would like to see happen, which is, you know, pie in the sky. I still have a lot of my PS1 games and PS2, and obviously my PS3 games. It'd be really nice if you could put those in the system and it would check. Like, if like the disc was in your system, it would give you the okay to stream it. That's what I would like to see. So, and Shaunzy has nothing to say because he doesn't own a PlayStation anything.
He's a wiener.
I still have my copy of
Uncharted 2.
No, of
like how he says that with such disgust. No,
no. I only own good games.
Dick.
You know, I'm just saying it domestically now.
DC Universe Online because they had like the code where it locked that pretty much once you played the game, the disc would only work on your PlayStation.
Well, now it's free to play, so it doesn't even matter. You don't need that disc anymore.
I know. But I can't do anything with the disc. I don't want to throw it away. Mm. But holding onto it does mean nothing. I don't know why I still hold onto it. All
right. Well, that goes into beta at the end of this month or February. And then it's supposed to go live in North America sometime this summer, which I think is going to be like September. So, on that note, if you guys have any opinions or questions for us regarding what we've talked about here today, I want to start some shit today. You can get in touch with us and comment on our parent site at Geekcast.
What are you, the new Batman?
Holy cow. Geekcastradio.com.
Yes, get in the car.
Okay, if you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcast. Oh, I did it again.
Yes.
Feedback. Oh, dear God. Okay. At feedback@geekcastradio.com. And as a reminder to everybody, we're probably in the next couple episodes, we'll be doing our game of the year for 2013.
Yeah, I should probably start making my list.
So you guys can
seriously.
You can still
January's
submit those.
January's almost over, man.
What?
January's almost over, and you still haven't made a list yet?
Well, in my head, I haven't written it down yet.
He's got a lot of stuff in his head, though.
Danner's naked flesh.
Okay. Anyways, there's still time to submit your game of the year list. The rules are in the episode post on geekcastradio.com.
Yes, you cannot. Apparently, you're not allowed to say Saints Row 4.
Gods Among Us?
Yeah.
Those are the two that you can't vote
Injustice.
For? Injustice, Gods Among
wait,
Us.
Those... Why can't they vote for that?
Nope. Anyways.
Why?
Tell
me why.
Anyways. You can find it. Okay. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter and PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. You can also find me streaming sometimes on Friday nights on Twitch at twitch.tv/BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me at rdanner on Twitter and on PSN at x51 the Machine Man.
Chauncey?
You can't find me, so give up.
Dang. All right, you gotta.
Nobody was looking for you, anyways.
I was gonna say, I've made no friends.
You got a comment for me? Friends. You got a quote? What? Anyone got a quote?
I got one.
I swear to God, if it's the same thing as last week.
Nah, it was gonna be the same thing.
That'll do it for Off the Cuff episode 43. Until next week, welcome to your doom.